Love Line, coast to coast.
Yep, it is Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Fax number.
310-854.
No, Drew, when's the last time you saw a goddamn fax in this place?
When are we going to set up that cool email site we were going to have? Can we, still, can we do that still?
Yeah, that's good.
Have something like that?
Hey, Drew. Drew, I got another hypothetical. I got another question for you. When are we going to get some popcorn in the vending machine? When are we going to get cups? When are we going to get new microphones? When are you going to do anything? Thank you.
You know what we could do? Why don't you...
Shut up. It's Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That's the ever-hopeful and vigilant Dr. Drew over there. Already gave the phone number out. All right. Tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the morning after pill and other forms of birth control, I believe, but more specifically, the morning after pill. A lot of controversy about this pill. It's relatively new.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the drug itself isn't new, but the notion of the morning after pill is new. It's something that we talk about a lot.
It was first described when you were like 11th grade. But aside from that.
You haven't heard about it. I mean, most people listening have not heard about the morning after pill, or at least something called the morning after pill, until maybe the last couple of years.
That's true.
And they probably haven't heard about it unless they're listening to this show.
That could well be.
Because I haven't heard it, and we don't try to cop things that we don't do on this show, but one thing we do talk about is the morning after pill, and I don't hear that on other shows, and I don't like that. I wish other people would talk about it. Nancy Psaki is our guest tonight. She's the CEO and president of Planned Parenthood LA, and Jenny Biondi is here as well. She's executive director of the Right to Life in Southern California, and I'm guessing you two are coming down on different sides of this issue. Am I right?
I think you're right.
Absolutely.
So, now, our feeling has always been that the morning after pill is not an abortion pill. Therefore, it's not as controversial as people may think it is. But what is your opposition to it, Jenny?
Well, the morning after pill seems to work in two ways. One is... it may prevent or delay ovulation. In that case, it would be a contraceptive. However, there's really only a very small window of time during a woman's monthly cycle when it would act in that way. And its second mechanism, which is the more common...
The rest of the month, it wouldn't have to work at all because there's no egg available.
Well, actually, the second mechanism of the drug, it's as you know, Dr. Drew, it's a high dose of birth control pills, is to irritate the lining of the uterus. So there, in the larger number of cases, if it works, which is a big if, its mechanism is that it's preventing a fertilized egg from implanting in a woman's uterus. So at that point, it would be 5 to 7 days old. So that would be considered a chemical abortion of about a one-week-old tiny embryo. So it's a chemical abortion in many cases.
All right. But I'm still for it, you know.
I think that really comes to the heart of the abortion issue many times. It's when people define when life begins. And what Jenny's saying is that in her definition, life begins at the moment of conception when the sperm fertilizes the egg.
Mm-hmm.
In our opinion, and apparently from most of the medical opinion, pregnancy begins when the egg is fertilized and implants into the lining of the uterus. And that's when pregnancy begins. So I think that it brings it back to why it's an individual decision. Because what people believe in terms of when life begins for their own selves, because of their religion, because of their medical beliefs, helps to determine whether or not they need to.
For the sake of argument.
I've said many a time, life begins when you learn to program the VCR.
So you and I are both done
technically,
for.
Technically, we're not. We have not been born yet, Drew.
Oh, I see.
Not started the clock,
idiot. Well, I see.
Use your brain.
This is good.
All right, go ahead.
For the sake of discussion, let's say that we could all point at the egg meeting the sperm as a point of conception that everyone would universally agree upon as a point of life beginning.
I can't go there.
But I mean as a
jumping off point.
As a jumping off point for discussion. Now, I understand the implantation is an issue for you, but wouldn't it be the case that if you could show that implantation is not affected by the morning after pill, or not significantly, probably affected by it, that would be a way of preventing abortion? If it just really, really worked by preventing ovulation?
I think that's the key, the absolute key
question.
Okay, so if you
looked at the science, and if the science proved that the effectiveness of that pill was caused by its suppression of ovulation, and there'd be a theoretic possibility of it interfering with implantation, would that be sufficient reason to support that pill? The science would suggest that it suppresses ovulation, that's how it works, but there's still a theoretic possibility of an implantation.
Dr. Drew, the morning after pill is not going to reduce the number of abortions. Right now we have over 4,000 abortions a day in the United States, 1.3 million surgical abortions, according to the Centers for Disease Control. So there's a lot of abortion going on. With the morning after pill, we're not going to see a reduction in surgical abortions.
Well, how do you know that?
Because the morning after pill is just another fuel of these destructive behaviors that we're seeing. And we've already got 80 sexually transmitted diseases. And we've got teenagers now.
Drew's had 75 of those easily, maybe 77.
That's amazing. Yeah.
There's no evidence that we're going to see less girls having abortions if we make the morning after pill readily available.
You know,
plus, there's a lot of health concerns about women swallowing high doses of birth control pills.
But, you know, to me, this sounds like, by the way, I don't want to just turn into us picking on Jenny, but the argument in general reminds me a lot of the gun control arguments I used to hear 15 or 20 years ago, which was, we got to slow down with these handguns. Too many people are getting hold of the handguns, and the NRA would say, the handguns aren't the problem. It's not, if you stop handguns, it's not going to stop crime, basically. But to me, I always figured it would, because it was just a sort of a math thing to me. The less people that are holding the guns, the less shootings we're going to have. And it's the same to me with abortions. The more people that have access to this plan, the less surgical abortions they're going to be. I mean, it seems like a math equation to me. Maybe morally it's not a great deal, but that's not for us to judge.
Well, no, and if it is, if our desire is for them to have less, to attack teenage sexual behaviors, which I'm all for, let's lay off this product, because this product may be the one solution we have to reducing abortions. Because the science is overwhelmingly, I mean, I just met one doctor one morning at the library, and there's no evidence that it impairs implantation any more than the birth control pill used normally, any more than Vioxx, any more than Celebrex. There's many medicines out there that impair implantation that are prescribed by the millions every day. And for one, I don't know why people aren't getting on those medicines. If you want to eliminate all birth control and eliminate all anti-inflammatories that could impair implantation, then I'm for that.
Well,
but if you're not going to take that,
then you're with our argument.
I'm with your argument. I'm with you.
Right.
But if you're not going to do that, then to pick on this product doesn't make any sense at all. Because, I mean, I just pulled one article and underlined. This is just one review underlined the basic premise there that
in Washington State they have emergency contraception, which is what it's referred to a little bit more accurately, because morning after pill implies that there's one pill that you take the morning after and it works, which it's not quite that.
Well, that's RU-46, so, really.
RU-46
is an abortion pill. That's an abortion
Absolutely
pill.
It is.
That works. That causes abortion. This is something totally different.
Absolutely, it is. In Washington State, they have a setup where a woman can go into a pharmacy and get emergency contraception because of a collaborative agreement that they have with a doctor. And they, in 13 months of its first, that project getting off, there were 9,300 some odd emergency contraception prescriptions given out. And they estimate that they prevented anywhere from slightly over 500 to 2,000 pregnancies from occurring, which means about half of those might have ended in a termination.
Well, also, it's been used by the tens of millions of Europe for 20 years, and there have been a single adverse effect from it, not one. There's no other medicine that can claim that.
All right, listen.
I want to jump in here, Adam, if I can, because you said before I don't want to pick on Jenny. And I want you to know that I think everybody in this room is looking to help women, and certainly we are. And
I'm looking out for myself, actually.
Yeah, don't count Adam on that.
I look at every one of these abortions as one last thing stolen from me. I really do. Swallowing
high doses of birth control pills. Look, in 1997, the Alan Guttmacher Institute, which is the research arm of Planned Parenthood.
We know about the Alan Guttmacher Institute, and so do our young listeners.
Then maybe you know about this one. Did a study on the morning after pill and asked their physicians, one-third of the physicians they asked would consider the repeated use of the morning after pill, quote, risky.
We all agree. That it should not be used as a contraceptive. It should be an alternative to contraception.
There is absolutely no controls over how many times a young woman will go in and use this. Let me finish, Adam. We do not have any long-term studies on the consequences to women in terms of increased risk of female cancers, including breast cancer. We know that women on birth control pills are at higher risk of contracting an STD, and specifically of contracting the AIDS virus.
Well, it's because they're getting laid.
No, we don't. No, it isn't because of that.
Of course it is. Their immune system's weak because they're on the pill?
It's because oral contraceptives reduce a naturally occurring chemical in a woman's body that nature puts there to help prevent infection. And it's a known fact.
No,
Planned Parenthood's own brochures tell you, if you're on the pill, just know you're at higher risk of contracting an STD.
Right, because you're out having sex without a condom a lot of the time.
Okay, I just explained it medically, but...
All right.
Okay, so we don't know
let me answer this question. As long as we're going to argue, medically, give me a percentage. Give me a percentage. How much weaker is a woman's immune system to fight off the AIDS virus, one who's on the pill, is one who's not on the pill?
Well, in Planned Parenthood's own literature, I don't have that statistic, percentage.
Why not?
I don't have it. I just don't have it.
Why? You want to know why you don't have it? It's nothing.
Well,
if it was something, you'd have it. Don't you think so?
No, Adam.
You don't? If it was 50% more, don't you think you'd have it?
Adam?
Don't you think you'd have it if it was 50% more?
Well, relax.
Look, Adam.
It's nothing.
Yeah? Okay, so I'm a woman. I'm supposed to swallow a birth control pill, keep condoms in my purse
when I go on a date
and lubricants, get to the health clinic for periodic exams for my STDs because I can still catch one, and if I forget to take that birth control pill, to take the morning after pill, if I get pregnant anyway, schedule my abortion early. Hey, when the tears start falling, are you going to be there to tell me that I should have been more responsible?
Relax. Listen, tell me the percentage. Tell me how much more.
Respond to what I just said. Is that the routine that a woman is now supposed to follow? You're a guy.
A woman
is that what you're expecting?
All right, I'll tell you what I expect. I expect options for women who want options. If they want to take this, that's their option. That's their prerogative. That's the kind of society I'd like to live in.
Let me finish this.
If a woman has an option, doesn't she also have the right to know the possible health consequences?
That's right. Just like with everything. That's why this country is great. Here's an option. Here's what it may do to you.
Well,
we agree, Jenny, she should be fully informed.
Sure, she should be informed.
Don't you think if there were health risks to being on the pill, the attorneys that for the drug companies that manufacture the pill would require them to put that in their package insert?
Well, there are.
I've got the package insert, and they only list health benefits, including less ectopic pregnancy, less ovarian cysts, less pelvic inflammatory disease, protection against two forms of cancer, ovaries and the uterus, and the evidence with the breast cancer is with the estrogen providing pills. The morning after pill is pure progesterone, which at this point has shown no risk of breast cancer.
All right,
but that's not actually accurate, Dr. Drew. Because
I'm reading from the package insert.
Okay, but the breast cancer risk remains an extremely controversial issue
with estrogen containing pills.
Not just with estrogen containing pills. It's true that estrogen has been linked to an increased risk of breast cancer. But we're now finding that's not the only link. And as a matter of fact, in Japan, where the birth control pill was not permitted until the end of 1996, because Japanese physicians had serious concerns about the pill, the breast cancer risk in Japan for women was 1 in 50. In the United States, it's 1 in 8.
Right.
But you explain that difference.
Well, they live off raw fish. We eat Arby's every day.
You think that's the only difference?
No, there's a million different factors. There's a million different environmental factors. Please, you spin this stuff any way you want to spin it.
Adam, you are putting a burden.
Wait a minute.
You're putting a burden on women.
I'm not putting a burden on
women. Well, hang on. Wait, stop. What about a contraceptive for men? Would you be supportive of that?
What about it? I don't understand. That's a totally hypothetical question.
No, it's underway. It's going to be with us very shortly. I mean, I've got several articles here. They're bringing it to market. Any problem with that?
Okay, well, if you want to go there, I mean, I don't.
But why don't we take the onus away from women and put it on men?
I think
men have to carry the condom. Men carry the contraceptives. Men, everything except morning after pill, will put on man.
Mm-hmm. I think men and women should share this responsibility, but I don't believe that these contraceptives are good health care. I don't believe they're good psychologically and good emotionally for relationships. And every single one has proven to be a disaster.
Hold on, emotionally for relationships.
Well, no, I think we
gotta, all right, hold on a second. We got to take some calls.
Hold on.
This is really getting heavy in here.
But
you got one?
I would like to talk about, I think we ought to distill it down to teen pregnancy and what we can do about that. Not teen pregnancy, teen sexuality, and have that discussion more directly.
Yeah, we don't like teenagers getting laid either, Jenny. Don't get us wrong.
No, I have a feeling that we agree on a lot of things.
Yeah, yeah.
I do.
Absolutely.
Sort of.
No,
yeah.
We do. I'm
well,
sure we do.
Yeah, but okay. Maria?
Yes.
Jenny and I agree on some stuff anyway. Maybe you agree.
I just want to say there was a statement made earlier that if women would be having less abortions, oh my gosh, this conversation has got my head spinning. Basically, what I'm trying to say is I would have had an abortion if the morning after pill or the emergency contraception was not made available to me.
Well,
for a fact, 100%, I know I would have had an abortion.
Yeah, I did that math a long time ago.
Well, good. I'm glad you didn't have an abortion, and I believe your pill worked because you either weren't going to get pregnant in the first place because there was no egg available, or because it suppressed ovulation in that critical 72-hour window.
I also, by the way, when it comes to abortion, I don't think it's all black and white, personally. I mean, I've said this to Drew a million times when we've argued. Everyone talks about, you've taken a life. For a lot of people, it's cut and dry. For me, I'm an atheist, but it's when, you, let's say you have a couple and they give birth to a stillborn. That's tragic. But it isn't as tragic as when their two-year-old is run over out front of the house. It just isn't as bad. And if she has a miscarriage in the first trimester, it's not as bad as the stillbirth, which is not as bad as when the kid dies at two. It's not shades of gray.
It's not as bad emotionally, but philosophically, it's all similar.
Yeah, but listen, philosophically, I mean, if an axe murderer gets killed, how bad do you feel?
Philosophically, that may be a good thing.
But it's still a taking of a life. Life has been taken.
Killing with justification is philosophically...
Right, I'm just saying, before we got to do some mushrooms here and really freak ourselves out, yes, if you execute an axe murder, you are taking a life.
Yes.
It is not as bad as a nun being executed.
All right,
that's what I'm saying. Thank you.
But I wish... See, I hate the fact that the argument is the battlefield has become morning after, because that's the one thing that people should get behind. I mean, the reason I brought the package insert in here, it talks about it interfering with implantation, just a regular birth control pill, the way it's used normally. Nordet, used, plain old birth control pill will impair implantation.
We'd like to win you over,
will
Jenny,
impair
because
implantation.
Not the morning after pill. A regular old birth control pill used normally.
The morning after pill is a high dose of birth control
pills.
It has
no more probability.
And it irritates the lining of the uterus.
But so does a regular birth control pill.
Yes, absolutely.
And so they all impair implantation.
They do. Absolutely.
And I brought the package insert in for a couple of anti-inflammatories that also, I called Merck up and, they agreed they couldn't defend this. So why aren't you advocating all those things being taken off the market?
Well, my organization, to be honest, a couple of years ago, previously had no position on oral contraceptives. And the medical evidence was so pretty overwhelming that oral contraceptives can, in some cases, prevent implantation because of this effect on the lining of the uterus that we now call them abortifacient.
So all birth control pills?
We do. And with the morning after pill is obviously, as a high dose of these, has the same effect. Now, it may not matter to you, Adam, but women have a right to know that. They have a right to know. There's also evidence that the morning after pill may increase your chances of having an ectopic pregnancy, which is a pregnancy in the fallopian tube. It gets stuck.
That's
a life-threatening situation.
Hey, Jenny, listen, I know that there are risks. There's risks for almost all facets of life, and I would never argue with you that there's not some nominal risk involved with a lot of this stuff. But just like when you talk about people who want to shut down the cigarette companies and they start talking about 50,000 people dying of secondhand smoke every year, it's nonsense. They spin things the way they want to spin things in order to make their point. That's what I'm accusing you of, not that there's no risk, that you're spinning them.
I see. So you're saying that I'm exaggerating small issues in order to win my point.
If you took something like being more susceptible for HIV, women on the pill, and you could give me a good solid number on that, I'd be more likely to believe you. But you don't have a number on that.
I don't have a number, but I'll have to call in tomorrow night and give it to you.
But if you had a good number, you'd know it, wouldn't you?
Look, if you're trying to deny that...
No, it's minuscule.
Look,
that's
think
what
about
I'm
it,
saying.
Adam.
It's minuscule.
Swallowing steroids,
it's
right,
minuscule.
Dr.
If
Dr.
it was
Drew,
25%, you'd
swallowing
know.
Steroids, common sense tells you it's got to have an effect.
Well, not really. I mean, not to me, because I'm not a physician. And yeah, I agree. Hey, there's no free lunches in nature, as Drew says all the time. And it could possibly have some negative effects on women. But it's been around for a while, and it doesn't seem to have them. Now, it may have this many. I'm holding my fingers very close together. But not this many. I'm holding my arms very far apart. And this many, I can deal
well,
with that.
I'm glad to hear you say you're looking at oral contraceptive pills and all sort of the same. And because to me, that's rational. That's fine. Does that change your guys' the Planned Parenthood discussion with them? Are you aware that they perceive it that way?
I wasn't aware that the battlefield has become the birth control pill as well.
The battlefield has become emergency contraception, and that's what drives me crazy. It's not rational to make the battle there. It's the battle should be a more broader.
All right.
A broader issue.
Pardon the pun. We're going to take ourselves a break.
Oh, my goodness.
We're talking about the morning after pill, contraception, and just everything involving women tonight. We're going to also take your calls about anything that we might normally talk about here on Loveline, just to mix it up every once in a while and cut the tension. We'll be back after this.
Loveline. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Janine Garofalo, and if you've ever wondered if there's people that are way worse off than you, listen to Loveline.
Yes, there are. A lot of them are in this studio, including myself. I had the misfortune of introducing myself to Janine Garofalo when she was in the Loveline studio a year or so ago. And yep. She'd informed me that she'd done the radio show a couple of times and the TV show twice.
Yeah.
After I'd introduced myself to her. So
nice to meet you.
So nice to meet you.
You are an asshole.
It was actually at the TV show. I remember when this happened.
Oh,
yeah.
So painful. Now, whenever I see anyone, I don't care who it is, I just go, hey,
hey,
dude. Good to see you again. Good to see you again. That's my line. Good to see you again.
How about me with, I can't remember who those guys were.
There
Crystal
you
Method?
Go. Oh, yeah, yeah. Calling them by different names and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, not knowing who they are.
2 days after they've done.
You know what my new thing is? When I used to box, there'd be old black guys who sat in front of the gym, and they just call everyone champ. Hey, champ. Hey, champ. No matter who walked through the door. Hey, champ. Now, I'm just going to call everyone champ.
I like that.
And now you're covered. Everyone feels good, and you're not excluding anyone. And if a guy was a former champion, he's not upset that you didn't give him his due. Tonight, we have Jenny Biondi, champ, in here. She is the executive director of the Right to Life in Southern California, and Nancy Sasaki is in here. She is CEO and president of Planned Parenthood in L.A. We're talking about
champ.
And we're talking about the morning after pill, birth control, and all that good stuff. We'll take some phone calls, too, and stop arguing so much. Kimberly?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up, champ?
Well, I was hearing, I did a report on the morning after pill and stuff. And I heard that it's coming out over the counter soon.
Where are you calling from?
Washington.
Washington, D.C.?
No, Washington State.
It is sort of over the counter over there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, through the pharmacy project, the collaboration between the pharmacists and the physicians, people can go directly to their pharmacy. There are some people working across the country to work with the FDA to see about getting emergency contraception as an over-the-counter.
There are three other states that are also going after that Washington model, aren't there? Oregon and the couple.
There are actually about 11.
11
California's trying to do a model as well, but there are about 11 states.
Hey, Kimberly, it's Jenny. Can I ask, why are you interested in it?
Well, I just, I don't know.
You don't know?
Are you sexually active?
Not really. Not.
You don't need birth control?
No.
Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah.
Keep it up. There's a lot of kids like you, and there's a lot more.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm all for it. Believe me, I don't want anyone younger than me getting laid. That's my policy. And it moves up each year.
Yeah, because so you get older every year.
Or Kimberly can't catch up.
No.
If Adam doesn't get any, nobody else does.
We have to kill Adam so he doesn't get any older.
That's right, so you can all then have sex.
That's right, at 36.
Yeah,
right.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, I don't want...
Your birthday's coming up, isn't it?
Geez, a couple months, yeah.
April.
End of May.
End of May.
I realized that we would be living in a utopia in about 20 years if everybody stopped having sex, mm-hmm. especially the people that shouldn't be having sex, younger, screwed up people, mm-hmm. having kids. I also know that if they would not have those little vermin they got running around the house and destroying the world, that this would be a utopia in 20 years, too. But I'm with Jenny on this. I wish, and I think we all are here, we don't want anyone getting light. Except for us, right?
Right. Let me ask you this: what age do you think is healthy for women? Is it only with marriage, or is there a certain age?
Well, I don't want to shock you guys, but it's marriage first, because anything less, someone's going to get stuck holding the bag, either the woman or the guy, and either
what bag?
Okay, she's going to get pregnant, or
but then we give her the morning after pill,
or
pow.
Yeah, or she's going to have an abortion, and she's going to be left with that. Or
what
she's
going to
have a broken heart.
What about condoms?
Or the guy
is
going to...
Let's stay with the broken heart,
or the guy,
we'll agree on that.
Yeah.
Wait
a minute. Can we work?
Hey, you know, yeah. or the guy is going to
also get a broken
find
heart.
Himself enmeshed in something that he wasn't counting on.
I
got a hypothetical. I know, no, nothing before marriage. And listen, I'm with that, too. Not for me, for everyone else. But I'm a big radio and television star. Fine. I get to do things other people don't
see.
Do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What if you got... But what's the earliest you could get married?
Well, I don't have
what
an opinion.
What if it was legal in your state? I mean, to get married at 15 or 16 or something like that. Like, here's a hypothetical for you, Jenny. What if you got emancipated? You lived in, like, Iowa or something. One of those screwball states, you know? Are we on in Iowa, Drew?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, not Iowa, but one of those states we're not on. Screwball states we're not on. You got emancipated, and a couple of 15-year-olds got married. They could have sex that night, right?
Or a 30-year-old.
You could be 30.
Yeah.
Oh, a 30-year-old could have sex with a 15-year-old. The 15-year-old is emancipated. But don't screw it up. Here's my hypothetical. What if you were a woman who was 28, 29, 30, 35, not married? Would you say it's better for that 15-year-old to have sex because she's married than the 30-year-old who's not married? Do you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Little wrench in the logic, huh?
No, it's not a wrench. It's one of those crazy hypothetical questions that's not worth answering.
Outlandish. You don't want. You wouldn't want the 30-year-old having sex, would you?
Maybe let's make it a little less hypothetical, if you would,
right.
And say that she's 20. She's 19 or 20. She's married, and you're talking about a woman in her late 30s who's not married.
Okay. Right.
And so I'll agree to that question, and I'll tell you that the woman who's married, I don't really have any opinions about whether women should get married at 18 or 25 or 40. So for the woman who's 20, enjoy her marriage, you know, her marriage night and her marriage rights. And for the woman who's in her late 30s and isn't married, I say hang in there. Keep trying to meet a quality man.
Vibrator, though, right?
But what good does it do to have sex
nothing
with a guy who isn't going to stick around? How does that help you?
Listen,
it doesn't change your situation.
Let me tell you something. Dessert ain't good either. You know what I mean? There's a lot of stuff that ain't good for you, but it's good. Oh, yes. What good is sex to a 30-year-old? Is good. What good is whipped cream?
You know, Adam,
that's
I can see some girl putting her sights on you trying to get you married.
Yes, there are many, many who have tried.
Yikes.
Only Drew has come close so far.
Yeah, and Jimmy.
Oh, and my other partner, Jimmy, yes. All right. Annie?
Yeah.
You're 24. What's up?
I just have a comment. I think all birth control methods are a positive for women of all ages as long as they can conceive. It gives you an option to, you know, first of all, know when you're ready to have a child. And I think also with that, though, the facility who offers these methods has some responsibility to show these girls, women, you know, either 15-year-olds or 30-year-olds, how the correct way of using these methods, the responsibility, the risks are involved, and giving all information before they, you know, offer anything to anybody who walks into their clinic.
I think everyone would agree with that. Yes?
Yes.
Nancy? Right. Yeah. Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So,
and regarding the morning after pill, the thing is, when they were saying repeated use, I think that once again, if it falls into the clinic or facility, if you see a girl that's, you know, 18, 15, and comes in there twice, maybe you should say, you know,
Annie, there's simply no one that would prescribe something like that. I mean, that's reputable, that wouldn't begin addressing more appropriate means of contraception. It's not meant to be a contraceptive that you use regularly.
It's not as effective as a regular contraceptive.
It's 70%.
Method.
It's not 100%.
Megan?
Yeah.
That's 70 out of 100%, right?
70 out of 100.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 70 out of 100. That would probably make more sense.
Megan, what's going on?
You're 16. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm 16. I was just very concerned about this whole... Oh, by the way, Adam and Drew, you guys are wonderful.
Thanks.
Best ever.
Thanks.
I was just... I'm part of the Right for Life movement. I'm totally and fully against abortion. My mom was adopted, and if it wasn't for my biological grandmother, I wouldn't be here today. And
but you know, you hear us talk about adoption all the time, don't you?
Oh, yeah. And yeah. Actually, I hear you talk about that all the time, Drew. And basically, I totally am always for what you say. And then one time you said, why don't you have an abortion? And
I said that? You know what? I will ask that question. Not saying recommending it, but I may ask why aren't you considering that? Because that is one of the options they have out there.
Yeah, I understand that.
He was pretty loaded that night, I mean, to be fair to him.
Do you remember that night, Adam?
Yeah, he was three sheets to the wind, and he was kind of full of himself, and I remember sometimes he spouts off.
Actually, I have a document in front of me about Planned Parenthood, and I was wondering if you guys would like to hear it.
Why you called?
Under 15 minutes?
Yeah, totally.
And don't listen, you know, for those of you who think we love Planned Parenthood, Jenny, and other right-to-lifers, we don't. We believe they fall short, too. They get spokesmodels who don't know their ass from a hole in the ground to get up and speak in front of Congress. They've never spoken to us about doing anything. I don't know if they've spoken to you about doing anything. This is the only show that we're aware of that it gets into this stuff night after night after night, but
yeah.
There's silence. And they don't stand up for themselves over Planned Parenthood.
That's
they're like
true.
All left-wingers.
Oh.
Left wingers are wussies, notorious wussies. I know that doesn't sit well with you, but you guys got to get some huevos going over there. you're too scared of the right wingers.
We don't go into a debate with right wingers. I think because our position is that people are entitled to their opinion, and they are. What we believe is that it's not the government's job to be telling people what their options are and what their choices ought to be.
But what's up with the spokesmodels who don't know anything speaking in front of?
I know exactly what you're talking about, and that wasn't us, Adam.
It wasn't you guys.
But no.
Who did we have?
No,
on this?
I know who you're talking about. It was from the national office, and it was
Beverly Peel.
Didn't come prepared at all.
No kidding. Hey, Megan?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. Take your shot at Planned Parenthood.
It was on my cards. That's what they had me read.
Okay, it's actually from an advertising supplement that I got from lovematters.com. And it's Planned Parenthood will tell you that birth control reduces abortion, but the facts say otherwise.
What facts?
I'm reading it right now.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Birth control fails miserably. Even the pro-birth control Allen Gut Matcher Institute website reports that 58% of women having abortions in 1995 had used a contraceptive method during the month they became pregnant. PP touts its sex ed programs, but these programs don't help kids. They hurt them. PP's own research has shown its sex ed programs caused a 50% higher rate of sexual activity among teens. And did you know that...
No, they didn't. No, nobody's proven that.
Wait, I'm not done. And well, do you know Planned Parenthood runs America's largest chain of abortion centers? That's right. Planned Parenthood sells abortions, a profitable backup when birth control fails. Every year, Planned Parenthood's abortions count for around 10% of the U.S. total of aborted babies.
Hey, Megan, let's ask Nancy. Does Planned Parenthood profit from abortions?
Do you have a successful chain of abortion clinic? You guys doing drive-thru now?
No, we aren't.
But do you have profit from abortion?
Whoa, that means yes. Long pause.
No, it would vary.
Because I know they basically don't have profit in reality.
Right, we're a non-profit,
is there a cash flow from abortion in some centers?
It would depend on the center, because some of them would.
Yeah.
Absolutely. When you're first starting up, as we are in some of our clinics right now, we are not.
Starting up abortions.
Starting up abortions and expanding.
I never knew the Planned Parenthood. I honestly didn't know that they ran. They usually referred to abortion clinics, I thought. You actually conduct.
No, we actually do abortions in our clinics.
How much is
an abortion? Hey, Dr. Drew. Planned Parenthood is the largest abortion provider in the United States. They advertise. Pick up your yellow pages.
Planned Parenthood is also the largest provider of birth control in this country as well, to prevent the need for abortion.
You know, Nancy, you advertise your abortions in the yellow pages up to 22 weeks of pregnancy. They perform abortions up to 22 weeks of pregnancy. Hey, Nancy and I actually first met in a West LA weekly when we each did a column. She did one pro partial birth abortion. They have aggressively supported this late term procedure, which, as we all know, is a pretty gruesome act that the American Medical Association said is never medically necessary. The baby is delivered breech birth, except for the head, which is left in the birth canal. The scissors are inserted into the soft base of the baby's head. The scissors are opened.
Hold on a second. Drew,
the brains are sucked out. Yeah. The skull collapses, and it's taken out of the woman's body. Nancy wrote an article in support of this procedure.
Wow.
Her organization has done more to support partial birth abortion and late-term abortions. There is not an abortion they've ever met that they don't like.
Well, let's talk about philosophically.
You forgot the part about where you eat the placenta after that.
That's
after
what
that.
You do.
Was that my move? Hold on. We got to take a break.
We'll pick up after that.
We'll let Nancy fire back when we come back after this.
Hello? Is this Loveline?
Call 1-800-LOVE-191. Adam and Dr. Drew will be right back.
Hey, champ. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Drew's, he's really got his dork on tonight, boy. He's knee-deep in paperwork over there. He was visiting that place where they keep the books. What's that?
The library.
Library.
Hey, which reminds me, I'm going to be at a thing next Monday, a week from Monday, called Healthy Children, Healthy City. Healthy Cities at the Los Angeles Convention Center. People ought to check that out. 323-692-2699.
That's Monday?
Monday.
From Monday. Let me plug something. I'll be home napping and masturbating.
Monday? Monday.
Yeah, that's this Monday? A week from tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about the following Monday?
Same deal.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. Am I getting a Tuesday, or do we make... Is the joke been made? Nancy Sasaki's here tonight. She's representing Planned Parenthood. She's the CEO and president and of the L.A. chapter?
Of L.A., right.
I see. And Jenny Biondi is also here tonight. She's executive director of the Right to Life of Southern California. And Jenny called Nancy a witch. Last we left off...
No, not a witch.
Yes, yes, an evil witch. And Nancy is going to respond now. Go ahead.
Well,
we're talking about abortions at the 22-month, or
so-called partial birth abortions, right. From my knowledge and the women that I know that have had to have a partial birth abortion, it's generally been because of genetic abnormalities. It's generally been a pregnancy that was very much wanted, very much planned for. They've been setting up for this baby to come, and something goes terribly, terribly wrong.
What is a partial birth abortion? I mean, how do you fit that criteria?
Well, the scenario that Jenny described is not actually... So-called partial birth abortions aren't known in the medical field as to what they are.
But and so it's not past a certain point in the pregnancy that it becomes that.
many times this procedure that she described is used after the 24th week.
I see. Okay. And so, anyway, I'm sorry.
And is it to attempt to save mother's life, or why do they do that?
Most of the time it's because the pregnancy is not going to be a viable pregnancy because of genetic abnormalities, because of other things that have gone terribly wrong with the pregnancy.
Is it putting the mother at risk? Is that one of the criteria?
I think that is one of the criteria, but also the risk of whether she would have continued fertility if this pregnancy were to continue.
Right, so she got one kid, and it came out like it's some kind of crazy retard.
The American Medical Association said there is no medical indication for partial birth abortion.
Possibly because it doesn't exist.
No.
That terminology does not exist in medical journals.
You know, Nancy, we can split hairs all we want. The American Medical Association knows what it is.
What did you defend in your article?
It was talking about the procedure itself and whether or not it should be banned legislatively.
But are you going back to a philosophical position that the government shouldn't be involved in our lives?
Well, when the government shouldn't be involved in our lives, the government shouldn't be prescribing to physicians what surgical procedures should or should not be
using. They do all the time. Believe me, they do all the time. And listen, they are so involved in every interaction between a patient and a physician. To say that they're not is, they're involved.
Drew can't even have sex with his patients anymore.
Not anymore.
Mm-mm. Not since the government got involved.
No, but they're involved with all aspects of the patient-doctor relationship.
All right,
I would love to see it rolled back, believe me.
The legislation that was presented was not describing this particular procedure. It would have, in effect, banned all abortions. It was written so vaguely. And that's why the Supreme Court knocked it,
So that's why you
defeated it.
All right, hold on. Let's speak to Jeff here, and we'll try to get a few calls in, too. Jeff, you're 34.
Yeah, hey, how you doing? I'm a pharmacist that works midnight shifts in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a lot of patients coming in for the emergency contraceptive tablets, obviously, a lot from ER. And the question I had is for Dr. Drew. excuse me. I had a script come in for Cytotec.
Yeah, you're talking about RU486 now.
Well, they didn't say that, though, actually.
But that's what that's for. That's for RU486.
Is that what it's for?
Yeah. And
I tried to talk to the patient about it, and was used intravaginally.
Yeah.
And I had never seen it done like that before, and she didn't even know it herself.
That's how you use RU486?
Well, they use that with the RU486 pill, and that is an abortion pill. Make no mistake about it.
That is. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's something totally different.
And then there needs to be follow-up for that. She needs to be seen in 3 days for sure. Do you guys have routine follow-up?
Absolutely. Yeah. Actually, it's three visits. There are two visits that are at the clinic and then a two-week follow-up after that.
So what would be the purpose then of utilizing the Cytotec along with the RU486?
What's a Cytotec?
It's part of the, it's misoprostol. It's part of the protocol.
Is Cytotec the second drug that makes the uterus go into the extreme contractions to expel the dead fetus? Is that what Cytotec does?
Well, it's normally used to treat ulcers complicated to non-steroidal anti-inflammatories.
But it's
considered a prostaglandin inhibitor.
Right.
So that would occur, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks.
Hey, good times over there.
Yeah. You too.
Yeah. I knew you weren't a pharmacist working in L.A., by the way, because I could understand most of the
Spanish
words you said. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's not Spanish here. It's some bizarre form. It's what I like to call the Johnny Quest villain nationality. We have. Whatever it is, I can't understand any pharmacist in L.A. Drew, you must deal with that, yes?
It's difficult sometimes, yes.
What is that?
I don't think it's the cultural issue. It's that all pharmacists, a lot of them out here, are angry.
Are they angry? Are all pharmacists just pissed off doctors?
Doctors are all pissed off too now, so.
You know what I mean? Like, the guys who always ran the open mic on the comedy clubs were always angry comedians who failed comedians. That's why they were so angry.
No.
Don't you think pharmacists are just angry doctors?
No, I don't.
No?
No.
You hate them, though. You hate them more than attorneys. Yes, you do. Gina?
Yes.
Yeah, he hates him.
Hello.
Jenny, you're 19. What's up?
Nothing. I was calling to ask Jenny's idea or Jenny's view on Depo.
On what? Depo?
Depo. Depo shots.
That's interesting. Yes. I'm going to turn my headphones down a little bit. Go ahead.
I have this. Gina, I'm so glad you asked that question. I think a lot of young adult women are considering that, and it has the same hazards as oral contraceptives. There appears, now Dr. Drew will say this is controversial, but there appears to be an increased risk later in life of an increased risk of breast cancer. You know, as a young woman, taking oral contraceptives is especially risky for your breast cancer risk. So all of the potential side effects of oral contraceptives are going to be very present taking Depo-Provera.
Do you see any difference in the two? If you had your druthers, you know what I'm saying?
One that's higher risk.
One, you think one's worse than the other? Or they're both exactly
they're both
the same?
They're both bad.
But the same.
I have a hypothetical. What do you think is...
You can't get any shades of gray here, you know?
Hypothetical. Which is a higher risk? The risk of pregnancy versus the risk of breast cancer from a progesterone shot? Because we would all agree, the data has been conclusive, that the progesterone shot has been the largest contributor to the reduction in the teen pregnancy rate in this country in the last 5 years. That's clear.
I don't think you get Jenny to cop
no,
that
No, she said
one.
Yes. She shook her head.
Really?
Yes.
No,
she shook her head like, shut up, I got to talk. Hold on a second. We got to take a break. She's not going to agree with that, you idiot.
All right.
She shake her head yes. She was like, shut up. I'm going to say something.
I like
something.
You too, Adam.
Yeah. You weren't agreeing with him, though, were you?
No, I wasn't.
No, I know you weren't. You got a stance. You're like a politician. All right, we'll take ourselves a little break. We'll be back. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew over there. Right smack dab in the middle of his wheelhouse tonight. Discussion about boring stuff.
It is true, isn't it? It is true. This is when you have to really work for your money for a change.
Are you kidding?
Make this interesting, Adam. This
no,
is it.
I
this, yeah. I can't believe we get paid the same.
Oh, my God. You know, Drew and I always have that argument where Drew says, Drew, into the mic. Drew always says, when I yell that I should get paid more than Drew,
we
get paid the same, but I always claim I should get paid more.
Yes.
And he always says, I'm a doctor. I have, what do you have?
Training.
Yes, 10 years of training, blah, blah, blah. And then I always bring up, what's Seinfeld getting paid? And then you always shut up, right? Isn't that how it works?
In fact, I have not brought that argument into this arena once in the last 2 years, I don't think. I'm tired of even gracing that with an A.
Thank God for Dr. Drew.
Yes.
He didn't want it. Dr. Adam. I don't see a doctor in front of your name, Mr. Big Mouth.
David Alan Greer, who raced in the Toyota Celebrity
How'd
Race.
He do?
He didn't come in first or second or anything like
who
that.
Who won?
I think Josh Brolin.
Really?
Won. Yes, and then the rest of the field was a bunch of people I never heard of. Jenny Biondi is our guest tonight, along with Nancy Sasaki. Nancy's the CEO and president of Planned Parenthood LA. Jenny is the executive director of the Right to Life of Southern California. Jenny is, and this is something I always do as a host, was leaving at 11 o'clock, and I forgot to broach that on the air. So Jenny is going to give the response to the depo shot that she was nodding to but not agreeing with. And then we'll say our goodbyes to Jenny. So go ahead, Jenny.
Well, Gina, you asked a really good question. You're 19 and you want to know if you should get Depo-Provera shots. And my answer to you is, woman to woman, don't do it. It's got the same risks as oral contraceptives. Do you want to find out 10 years from now that we now know definitively that your breast cancer risk is increased? It's already a very controversial area. Second, we know that in a small number of cases, oral contraceptives can cause a chemical mini abortion. So you'll have that on your conscience. And third, do you want to get into that lifestyle? Don't you want to wait and meet a great guy like Adam or somebody?
That's right. I'm with Jenny. I get nothing but oral sex out of deference.
You know, I want to just add one thing, Adam, before I go, because...
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of women listening who've had an abortion. We know that there's over 20 million women who've had abortions, and lot of the people that I work with at the Right to Life League have had abortions, and everybody's had somebody in his or her family who's had an abortion. It's very, very common. And a lot of times after an abortion, there's a flood of emotions. Sometimes they don't surface till several years later when you give yourself permission to look at the emotions. And I just want to encourage any woman who's listening who's had an abortion to realize that there is hope and there is some healing out there. There's a great website for women that's called www.afterabortion.org. It's totally non-judgmental. It just helps you explore some of the feelings that you might have and realize that, you know, everybody makes mistakes.
And what about you would like adoption for someone in that situation who maybe didn't feel that they could raise a child? How are you on adoption?
Well, in my organization, we actually have 14 pregnancy centers in Southern California. We help about 10,000 women a year. We're a non-political group. Our whole mission is just to help women who are pregnant who are trying to find a way to avoid an abortion.
But where do you come down on
adoption?
So
you basically, if a woman wants to explore that, we have agencies and different resources that she can do that with. If she decides to go the single parenting route, we've got single mom support groups and parenting classes. And if in some cases she's going to get married or she's with the father of the baby, and we've got lots of resources for her, whatever she chooses.
Is there a number you want to give out?
I do. If you're in Southern California, you can call 1-800-R-HERE-FOR-YOU, which is 1-800-743-7348. 1-800-743-7348. And that'll connect you automatically with a Right to Life League Center. And you can find out about maternity homes. You can get prenatal care. You can get assistance with legal aid. If you're not safe at home, we can help you with any type of, you know, domestic violence.
We were talking a little about consensus during the break. Would you think we'd all reach a consensus about adoption being something that should be empowered? I don't think that's something that is supported in our society very much. People don't feel good about that.
Well, I think society looks as sort of a cop-out in a certain way.
Would Planned Parenthood support?
Well, Planned Parenthood supports all options for a woman that's pregnant who doesn't want to be pregnant.
But there is another consensus point that we can all sort of look at and go, hey, gee, we all support adoption.
All right, let's agree on puppies and adoption as two things that we both enjoy. Jenny?
There's a national number.
Oh, you want to stay.
Just before
you're staying.
If I can. Nationally, you could call 1-800-395-HELP. And 1-800-395-HELP. You know, there are these pregnancy care centers coast to coast. There's about 4,000 of them. So if you want to avoid having an abortion, if you've had one before and you find yourself pregnant again, which is really common, get some help for yourself. And there's lots of help out there.
All right. I think we can all agree on that. Jenny Biani, thanks for coming out.
I really enjoyed it, Adam and Dr. Drew. Thank you so much.
Yes.
And I really enjoy talking with Nancy.
Nice to meet you, Jenny.
She's tough but unfair. That's what I'd say about you. No, I appreciate a spirited debate, and I don't mind getting into it with somebody, but I know we're all professionals here, and I thank you for coming out and arguing that side of the coin for us, Jane. Have a good night, and I'll see you now. No, let's let the party start.
Put that pot away.
Nancy, you got any reefer? Don't you guys plan murder? You all smoke out, right? You guys are cool. Brian?
Yes.
You're 37.
Yes, hi. I've been listening since I was 21 to Loveline, believe it or not.
Oh, man.
The show.
And you wanted to call Jenny Biondi out on some of her points, right?
Yeah, Dr. Drew, I think it's way too easy on her. This woman...
Well, Drew's a full-blown wuss. I mean, anyone that knows Drew knows what a wuss he is.
Okay, you know what annoys most about her is that she's trying to present herself as a rational person. That's not the case at all. She has her mind completely made up on everything. no new arguments or facts will, yeah, will change her mind about
well,
anything.
Well, I thought Adam was busting her chops about that quite sufficiently. I didn't want to make it worse on her.
Well, yeah, but Adam, you're more just making fun of her. Now, Not to say anything wrong.
Hey, I thought I made some legitimate gripes.
Hey, Brian, it's up to the listener to listen to the data I present and listen to her response to it. I don't need to bust her on it.
Drew was not aggressive, but I think he provided some compelling data. And also, Brian, let me explain something to you. And I don't mean to sound condescending, but religious people don't make sense oftentimes because they don't have to. Do you understand? That's the basis of religion. You want them to use logic, but they don't use logic in their faith per se. So why use it in life, and why use it in their arguments? That's why you try to argue with folks that are religious, and you don't get anywhere with them.
Well, I agree with you. Why did you not bring this up while she was on the air?
Let's bring this up to her. I did a sufficient amount of ball busting on young Jenny over there. I'm Nancy, sorry. No, I mean Jenny, sorry.
Jenny, yeah.
Right.
I mean, she was so concerned about the questionable and theoretical risks of birth control pills, for example. But what about the risks
of pregnancy?
Pregnancy.
Which is much higher.
Kind of touched on that. Or the risks of her... the failed abstinence campaign. Sorry, I can't speak. That doesn't really work.
Well, you know what? I
don't mean to cut you off, but I'm cutting you off. It's the same as the drug campaign, really.
It is the same.
It would be great if we could just say, don't do it. You know,
don't have sex before you're ready.
Yeah. Don't have sex when you're teens. Don't do drugs. Just say no. Great notion. Doesn't work.
But like
I wish
drugs,
it did.
And this is what I'm terribly interested in is forming areas of consensus. I really am, because there are all these camps out there. And Nancy and Jenny and I were talking about areas that there is consensus. And there's lots of areas. And I wish we could have giant initiatives just focused on the areas of consensus. And so we didn't leave it up to the politicians to make it totally irrational. They make people that with religious orientations look completely rational.
But, Drew, didn't I tell you when you were saying to me for all those months and possibly years now, why aren't the right-to-lifers for the morning after pill?
You told me why.
I said the religious whack jobs who want to argue, they're not really interested in data. They're more interested in a religious argument.
But what you said was they're interested in teenagers not having sex.
Yes, not in lowering abortion.
Yeah, but you know what? There's areas that we would all agree that's a good position to have. There's times of life when that's a very appropriate. It's how that information gets out there that I think we need to...
That was definitely one of the areas of consensus that we were talking about in terms of education and reaching out to young people and giving them the skills that they need to make rational decisions, to be able to say no, to be able to get the information. You know, what we've learned is that by giving them information about sex, sexuality, birth control, they actually delay sexual activity. They delay engaging in sexual activity.
What is delaying, by the way, and you know, we live in California, we always assume that things are progressive out here, or at least that's what I think the rest of the country assumes, that California is progressive, but we're not.
Well, we're not.
We're not on the vanguard of a lot of this stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't have this available, the morning after pill, over the counter at this point. Why?
No, but it is available in the state. You still can get it. You do have to go to your physician.
We just think Washington, the state of Washington has got a great plan.
Oh, Washington State has had their pharmacy project in place for quite some time, and we're still trying to develop it here in the state of California.
Why is that?
We have pilot projects going on right now. There are actually two here in Los Angeles. We're trying to be the third pilot project to be able to start this up.
Let us know when it's coming.
Is this considered, though, is it death for a politician to get into this subject? Are they steering away from this?
It seems almost to the point of distraction. Why don't politicians get involved in the disturbed family systems, the behaviors, the unwanted pregnancies? That's core issue in this country.
Right. No, I have no idea why they don't.
Because they're pussies, you know. They're pussies. They don't want to bring it up. They're scared. They want votes, and they just want to steer clear of it. It's too controversial for them. They get into that, you're playing God BS, and they just steer clear of it.
Well, the legislators, though, do go into certain areas. When we were talking about restrictions earlier in terms of where we could go in terms of consensus, politicians do get into that. They do get into restrictions on access, whether it's to abortion and or to family planning.
I asked Maxine Waters about this when I was on Politically Incorrect with her, who, by the way, is what is she? She's a representative of California. What is she?
Right, she's a representative.
Yeah,
of California.
You might as well
congresswoman.
Yeah, congresswoman, you might as well get Aunt Esther to represent California. This woman is so out of it, completely out of it. And I brought this subject up with her, and she didn't know what I was talking about. And she said the data was still out. And I told her, no, it isn't. And why aren't you more involved with this? And how come you don't know about it? And your constituency could use this product. And she was way out. She didn't care. She didn't know. Why aren't you guys busting her chops?
Well,
why aren't you coming down on these people?
We do work with Representative Waters.
Stop working with them. Start calling her nutball. Go after her.
He doesn't mean with the office. He means her.
Once again, we go back into just education. We want to get our legislators educated about what the issues are so that they can make more rational choices in terms of legislation.
All right. Let's talk to Dominic. I wonder if she can have me killed, by the way, for calling her Aunt Esther all the time on the air.
Why not?
She didn't know where she is, I don't think. Dominic?
Neither the pro-choice ideology nor the pro-life ideology has a higher rational intelligent purpose, objective.
Where are you from?
Pro-choice ideology simply stems
be interesting,
from
get a different...
woman's pride. The pro-life ideology stems from religious dogmatism, so they are not acceptable. The right, correct, reproductive ideology
We may have a pharmacist from L.A., because I can't understand a goddamn word he's saying.
Where are you from, Dominic?
I am from Colombia. The correct, right, intelligent, higher purpose for reproductive policy is the good welfare and preservation of the superior white race. White people all over the world.
Oh boy!
Oh wait a minute!
Whoa.
White race?
Yes.
Growth.
Wait, is he's from Colombia. Is he in the white race?
But I am white person.
What?
White people all over the world.
Oh, I see. Yeah, but you can't be in the white race. You got too much accent.
White people all over the world
have
a negative or neutral growth. On the other hand, the color in fewer races multiplies.
Oh, my goodness. I never actually encountered anybody like this before.
That's why abortion for the color races should be encouraged.
Oh, my God.
While for the white people should be discouraged.
Don't inflame this guy. It's all I can tell
you. That's the higher purpose for America.
I'm not sure where. I think I agree with him, but I'm not quite sure.
What?
What's he saying?
By the way,
you're saying no abortion for white people, only colored people?
Abortion for the colored should be encouraged, abortion for the superior white people should
be
discouraged.
All right, really, I can't believe this guy's white from Colombia with that accent.
Why? What about? Wait, just out of curiosity, I've always wanted to ask one of these guys this question.
He's probably just screwing around, by the way.
Go on.
He's calling from
San Francisco. How does that go over in San Francisco?
Our screwballs don't use language like this.
Really?
Yeah. But listen.
Yes, go on.
Okay. How, in biological systems, genetic diversity improves health. So the more genetic mixing, the greater the health of a population.
Well, like when you're talking about like a dog, a mutt is healthier.
What?
Right?
What?
Demagoguery and lie.
That's a lie?
Genetic mixing corrupts, pollutes the superior white race.
Well, hang on. I know you believe that, but what about the fact that, let's take dogs.
Yes.
And you have pure races, and they get unhealthier the more you purify them, and the more you mix them and create mutts, the healthier the animals become.
I had that purebred German Shepherd died at 8 months.
And this is true. This is true in all mammals. Now,
this is a violation of common sense. This is a Jewish propaganda. By the way,
Drew is part Jew. You know, he's part Jew.
No, I'm just
you, the Jew, to speak in the name of the white people.
No, Dominic, hang on a second.
True,
I'm just talking about what every biologist, anybody who's ever studied biology, is taught.
Propaganda.
That's right.
Okay.
Now listen, I'm a white guy. I'm from North Hollywood. I don't have any of that Jew in me, Dominic.
White people, you constantly both corrupt impressionable young people with the egregious lie of racial egalitarianism with amalgamation and miscegenation.
Okay. Hey, Dominic. Dominic, you made your point, but just out of curiosity, what do you do for a living? Because it'll be funny. You drive a cab, right?
No, I work with computers, Mr. Construction Worker Intelligence.
How dare you attack my
Why
background?
Why don't you go back to construction work, you disgrace?
Hey, go back to Colombia and grow some poppies.
I'm a white person.
All right.
Yes.
All right, good times there. All right, thank you.
Stop corrupting white people.
All right, I'll see what I can do. All right?
No, not all right.
All right. Wow. I'll tell you. He's one of these guys, by the way, who I bet the folks that work with him are like, oh, Christ, here comes Dominic. Oh, Jesus. Bob, I'm going to be in the break room. Oh, my God. All right. And by the way, you know what I don't like about guys like Dominic is like one of them ruins it for every 10,000 good white folk around there. This is why everyone thinks we hate them. It's one of those guys. One of them ruins it for the rest of Whitey. He really does. You know what I mean? Because I swear to God, I think he can poison the whole pool, this guy. People think all white guys are this way. You are part Jewish show, Drew. You're not going to deny that, are you?
But when you hear that this stuff...
You're impure that way? Troy?
I'm impure a lot of ways.
Yes. Troy?
Yeah.
All right. You're 19.
Yeah. Well, I have all sorts of opinions on all of this.
Mm-hmm.
I was adopted when I was 3 years old.
Uh-oh.
No, bad. Hold on.
Yeah.
Don't lose me here.
All right.
Well, that's different than being adopted at 3 days. It's a lot different.
Well, I was with my parents.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right.
That's the point.
No, my adopted parents from the time I was born.
Oh, I see. You just didn't complete the adoption.
It took them because I was from an Indian tribe.
I see.
It just took an extra couple of years to actually finalize all of it.
Understood.
I see.
My girlfriend is 17 years old. We got pregnant about 4 months ago, I'd say. And she has no opinion on abortion either way. I was raised always that abortion is bad because I was adopted. Very conservative parents. And when she got pregnant, my parents decided that I was no longer a part of their family.
Because she was pregnant?
Because I had sex outside of marriage.
Okay.
What tribe were you with?
Choctaw.
Ah, yeah. I remember up on Choctaw Ridge. some kind of Billy Joe. That's where he jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge.
Okay.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, you're dating yourself a little bit here.
Yeah.
Troy just like, yeah, uh-huh, okay.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, so I went to the pro-life area. I worked with Rock for Life. I worked with pro-life, trying to get someone because my girlfriend was sure that she didn't want to have the baby. She didn't want to go through the whole thing about... putting up for adoption, her having to live
with
that.
So she wanted to have an abortion?
Yes.
So why then were you going to Right to Life for...
Well, because I wanted counseling one way or another.
Yeah. Well, that's usually not one way or another counseling.
Well, now, don't lose me here. On that, I could not get it from Right to Life at all. Nobody would talk to me. I could not find anyone to talk to my girlfriend at all. So I went to Planned Parenthood. And ever since then, Planned Parenthood has been my savior. I mean, you guys have no clue how much they have done for me. They got us into counseling. We decided that if she was pregnant, that we were going to go ahead and put it up for adoption. As soon as the baby was born, it would be out of our hands and into a stable family that could take care of it. Well, we lost the baby through a miscarriage at 2.5 months, and still I have not heard any response from the Right to Life movement. And the fact that I was excommunicated, basically, from my family, kicked out of my family because of what went on, and they're very much, pro-life, pro...
Well, they kicked you out because you had premarital sex?
Yeah.
Or
yes.
Was that really it?
That's really it.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's how it came down.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for that testimonial, Troy.
Whoa.
What?
What?
After that, we have used the emergency pill twice.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, is this going to affect us later in life, trying to have kids?
No.
Because we are planning on getting married.
Listen, there is absolutely no evidence of that. None. Zero.
Yeah.
Because it kind of sounded like it from...
No, she was talking about this. Listen, it reduces the risk of ovarian cancer, reduces the risk of uterine cancer. There's a theoretic risk of increasing risk of breast cancer, but nothing like that has ever been studied. I mean, ever.
Jenny.
And people using emergency contraceptive occasionally. Those are all people on chronic oral contraceptive pills. And even then, that connection is spurious at this point. I mean, it's not...
Right. I would really encourage you to look at the relationship and look at using a regular, consistent birth control method if you've already used emergency contraception twice.
Yeah.
You know, it's obvious you're going to continue to have sexual activity, so you really should look at using a more effective method of contraception.
Right. Except for the overwhelming chance of getting AIDS once you're on the pill. I'm sure.
She's going to call you tomorrow.
I'm sure Jenny's going to give me the staggering data on that tomorrow. She didn't know it all. And by the way, if you watch any show or listen to any show and a person doesn't have the data, the person is going to go retrieve the data, doesn't have that in front of them, it means no data.
Well, it
that's
means
code
data,
for
but,
no data.
No, but not strong data. At least not strong data.
Very spurious, very weak data. That's what it means, because when people make arguments and they have compelling data, they sure as hell bring it in with them, and they know it off the top of their head. So I'll get back to you on that. That means no data. We'll take a break.
Oh, yeah, everybody now.
Yes, I will be right back.
Love Line will be right back.
Yep, it is Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Our champion here tonight, Nancy Sasaki. She's CEO and president of Planned Parenthood in L.A. And we're talking about morning after pills and RU-46 and all forms of different forms of contraception. And not that RU-46 is a form of contraception. And how much is an abortion, by the way?
It's going to vary nationwide. For a first trimester abortion here in Los Angeles, it's going to be about $290.
And how are those done generally?
What's
the method?
Vacuum aspiration.
And why is RU-486 not routinely being used instead of that?
We just have RU-486 mifepristone available in our clinics as of December. So a lot of people still don't know that it's available and asking for it.
But
why aren't you pushing it?
Yeah, why are the people performing
in lieu of vacuum abortion?
Yeah.
We let people know what the options are and choose if they've decided to terminate their pregnancy. Here's manual, here's the surgical, and here's the medical abortion. Take your pick. People that choose the medical abortion are doing so because they feel like they are in more control of the procedure, because it's not invasive.
It's not as expensive.
It is actually more expensive because of the number of visits that are required in the protocol right now for using this particular drug. So.
Right. And is the protocol more than is necessary?
That's hard to say. The first two visits are absolutely necessary. The third follow-up visit is the same with the surgical abortion. We try to get women to come back in for the follow-up visit to make sure that everything's okay and that everything's gone back to normal, just physically speaking.
Mm-hmm.
But for the medical abortion, does it have to be required? Do we have to make the phone calls to try to get women to come back in for that follow-up? If they choose to come back in, that would be great.
So right now, the way it's laid out, the RU-486 is more expensive than a traditional abortion.
Then the medical, the RU-486 mifepristone, is more expensive than a surgical.
Right. How much more?
It is from $290, it goes up to, not going to remember. It's close to $400, though.
Wow.
I believe, yeah.
Good times. All right. Let's hop back to the phones and speak to Tony. Tony?
Yeah.
You're 21. What's up?
I was wanting to call. I was hoping I'd be able to get a response from Jenny, but I think it's probably better off so that she can turn the question around on me.
Sure.
I was wanting to get yours and Dr. Drew's and also Nancy's, if she would, her opinion on the use of the morning after pill for women who's had complications in the pregnancy. I know you all were talking about that a little bit earlier.
Mean a woman who's previously had pregnancies that were...
Yes, like a stillbirth, I believe it is what it is, where the baby is born dead. Correct me if I'm wrong.
And what is your concern about the morning after pill?
How it could be used if... I mean, because the girl that I'm concerned about, it's one of my friends. It's not... She just told me that she believes she's pregnant again.
Okay, morning after pill prevents pregnancy.
It prevents pregnancy.
Yeah, it's not the abortion pill. That's RU-486. We've not been talking...
I'm sorry to cut you off. I do not agree with abortions at all.
Okay, we've not been talking about RU486. We've been talking about a pill, a little higher dose of the birth control pill taken after sex, within 3 days of sex.
Within 3 days.
That prevents ovulation so the sperm never gets to the egg.
But if she's pregnant, she's pregnant.
Yeah,
and this
pill
is not going to make a difference.
Not going to do anything.
Right. She doesn't know if she is or not. I mean, she's...
Well, it's been more than 3 days anyway.
Yeah, she's late 7 days, and she's never been that late before.
Well, she's probably pregnant.
Her doctor had advised her, which kind of confused me, her doctor advised her not to take birth control for something like that.
It's better. It's better.
Something like that. And she's recently developed an allergic reaction to latex and condoms. And she hasn't really been able to use anything. And I've told her, you know, she's smarter than that. She knows just not to do it.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, it's hard to tell a teenager not to have sex.
Well, there you go.
All right. Well, hey, Tony?
Yes.
Why don't you just steer her toward Planned Parenthood and let her sit down with somebody and
talk about this thing out? Yeah.
That's what I was thinking, but would it be a good idea for maybe me to be there with her to help her through things?
Well, that's up to you. We don't know the nature. Yeah. Is it your child?
No, it's not.
All right. Hey, Tony?
But I mean for emotional support, because the guy she's with, it really isn't.
All right, Tony, you just open yourself a nice big can of worms, because now we got to turn on you for a minute.
Yeah.
Okay.
How old is this girl?
She is 19.
And why so much concern? I mean, I understand she's a friend of yours, but what's going on with you? Do you have a girlfriend?
No, not right now.
Hold on a second.
Yeah. Oh, get off the floor, Adam.
Shocking. Shocking. Thank you. Tony, do you like this girl?
Yeah, she knows how I feel about her.
We do, too.
All right.
Her boyfriend just let her come over and spend a weekend with her.
I know, but listen, Tony, don't get yourself into this caretaker position.
I don't want to be the caretaker. I'm trying not to do that because
that's the role she's allowing you, and that's not
right.
The one you want, and so don't do it.
Well, most things she asks me, I try not to give an opinion about it because, you know what I mean?
Yeah, why are you involved with her at all? She has a boyfriend.
You're calling the
because
show on her behalf.
She doesn't want to be with this guy, but she's got such a low self-esteem that
this guy is just like her dad. He's an a-hole of some type.
Right.
And that's he's a decent guy, but, I mean, he's got his faults like everybody.
Look, he was an a-hole to her, and she didn't get the nourishment she needed from him. Now that's turned into an attraction to guys that are just like dad.
Tony, you're too nice. And too desperate and too needy, and she'll never be interested in you.
And
that
even
way.
If she did get involved with you, she would sabotage that in a second.
You think?
All right. Oh, Tony.
Yeah.
Now, as you know, I'm a genius.
I know that. That's
all right. I am telling you that if you get hooked up with this girl, you may think it's a dream come true. It will turn into a nightmare at some point. Be supportive. Be her friend, and find yourself a girlfriend.
Okay? Hey, and Tony.
Yes.
You know that goddamn Omni Hotel down there in downtown Cincinnati?
Go ahead.
You tell me what.
Go ahead.
I just had an awful experience there. Everybody stay away from that hotel.
All right. There you go. That's the beauty of having a radio show. I get to complain about my garbage men. Drew gets to pick on hotels around the country. Kristen?
Yeah?
You're 14?
Yeah. Kind of had a comment that I wanted to say while Jenny, or whatever her name was.
Jenny Biondi, yes.
Yeah. I think it's kind of wrong to try to convince young girls to have an abortion when they're young girls themselves and they have their whole life ahead of them, and this child hasn't even been born, and they're saying, you know, worry about this child. But there's a young girl who, you know, needs to graduate high school and do all these things for herself.
Yeah,
and they act like that doesn't matter. Like it's only the only thing to worry about is the baby.
Well, they're religious people.
Well,
also there's a certain element of pay the fiddler. You want to go out and be immoral. You want to go out and dance with the devil, and you think you can just walk away? No, you got to pay. Have that child. I mean, that's really the underlying thing. And you know. To a certain degree, I agree with them. It's like, you want to just go out and have sex and think you're getting an abortion? It's too easy.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm fine with that.
You're kind of fine with that.
I'm kind of fine with that. I'm definitively kind of fine with that. Thank you.
It's better than having a child brought into the world that's going to be abused or neglected.
How about giving that child up for adoption? How about if we lived in a world where women who got pregnant and thought about adoption were supported and maybe really sort of honored for that decision. And so she takes a few months off school and then gets the child off the child. It sounds very simple. I know it's about, but I'm just saying, what if there was a different world and that was possible? What if we could create that kind of world? Would that change things? I don't know.
Also, I agree with Adam. She should. I kind of don't really think that her statement was legitimate about the higher risk of an STD, because knowing that she's going to come to this show and that's what she's going to discuss, you would think she would have some numbers in front of her.
Yeah, and Adam made the point that
no numbers.
It's the pill. All the data I've ever seen on the pill reduces the complication of STDs. But if you're on the pill, you're going to be sexually active more likely, and you're at a higher risk for STD. Then
of course, that's right. You live in Japan, you eat fish. And you don't get breast cancer. Plus, Japanese women, they got smaller breasts, right? Not as much mass there to get the cancer. There you go. Am I right? Do bigger breasts, if you have bigger breasts, you got more cancer room there?
No.
What a woman who's completely flat-chested.
Yes.
Just completely, just yes. Like flat as a board.
Bad times.
Just as high an opportunity to get breast cancer.
I'm not sure that, I don't know that study's been done quite
enough. Men get breast cancer also.
Exactly, men. It's like
but
one
how,
in eight.
How much?
One in eight cases are male.
No. Of breast cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah, but here's my point. Flat-chested woman, big-busted woman.
I don't know if that study's been done, but I know that generally it's considered not to be an issue.
What would you guess?
I would guess not, because it's an estrogen issue on the breast tissue. It's not
less tissue.
It's not. That's all fat. That's all fat. That's all. That's not breast tissue. It's fat.
I bet you could detect a lump easier though if you're flat-chested.
So
you could detect it earlier.
So you'd be more likely to pick it up then.
That's right.
So flat-chested would look like they're having more cancer.
No. Because they would get it before it made it into the data.
Breast cancer. It'd still be breast cancer.
No, it's still breast cancer, Adam. One cell breast cancer.
Earlier or later.
Yeah.
but it would be more advanced if you couldn't find it.
No, that doesn't. You're not asking about advanced. There's actually something called the Will Rogers effect, that if you detect it earlier, it actually makes it look like it's a higher incidence in that population.
So. Don't you think that women who have a larger women have a higher breast cancer?
It's fat. That's not breast tissue.
All right, you look into this.
I'm not sure the study's been done, but I know that in general people aren't considering that.
Yes, I will be right on this. Wait a week. Look into it, Drew, please.
Well, how would the fat
flat women, totally flat woman, as opposed to a busty woman, who has a greater percentage? All right.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Okay,
whatever.
Go ahead.
Whatever.
Go ahead there, Jordan. You're 15?
Hey, man.
Hey.
First off, you're a gentleman and a scholar.
Thank you.
You're a genius.
Thank you. Yes, I know.
Yeah. I had a success story for adoption. My family adopted a baby a year ago. And my mom has a website and stuff, and she has a registry where parents who want to adopt can go and sign up and put their family on and stuff like that. And, the mom found us, and we've had her for a year, and we love her just like, you know, she was my own sister and all that kind of stuff.
How old is she?
She's a year old last month.
Wow.
And I just kind of, I don't know, I want other teen moms out there to know that there's a lot of loving families out there who want babies who can't necessarily have them or would just rather adopt.
Oh, listen, and they're probably better parents because they actually want their kids. I mean, if you think about, I don't care whether it's a kid or a car. You actively pursue something. You wait. I mean, let's just talk about cars for a second, because you know I like to use that as a sort of general analogy for everything. Yeah. Yeah, I know it's time to go to break, but I'm doing a car analogy, Anderson. If you order a car a year in advance, as opposed to somebody just dropping it off over at your house, which one makes a better owner? Just close your eyes and say, which one takes better care of the car?
I'm with you.
Yeah. So, everyone should trade their kids. Trade them in. Sell them. What can you get for a good, healthy baby these days? No? No numbers? You guys don't have those numbers?
No numbers.
Okay. We'll take a little break. We'll be back.
Loveline. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Fatboy Slim. You're listening to Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Yes, you is. Forget about that phone number. let's just keep pushing on here. Nancy Sasaki is our guest tonight. She's the CEO and president of Planned Parenthood in Los Angeles. Also, Jenny Biani is the executive director of the Right to Life in Southern California. She has left the studio, but we had a nice spirited debate with her early on. And that's basically the topic tonight. Patricia?
Yes?
It is Patricia, right?
Yes, it is.
All right. What's up? You're 26 years old.
Okay, I'm a little concerned. I went to the doctor about 2 days ago. I wanted to get the morning after pill, and I went after work, so I went through emergency care. I didn't see my regular OBGYN. And when I was waiting in the office to see the doctor, he went ahead and was asking other doctors that were outside of the waiting room if they were aware of this emergency pill as he was referring it to. And the other doctor said, no, I haven't had any history with this pill. I've never dealt with it. And the doctor said, well, it's against my religion. I don't pass out that pill.
You're talking about RU46, though.
I'm talking about the morning after pill, the emergency pill.
So it had been within 72 hours.
It was within that time frame.
Oh boy,
72 hours.
And so you didn't get it.
And so what happened was, when I was waiting with the doctor, he came into the office and he sat down and he said, it's against my religion. I don't pass out this pill at all. And I said, okay, well, I told him, this isn't going to help me, what you're telling me about your religion. Is there any way that I could see a doctor that can, you know, prescribe a pill for me? He said, okay, I'm going to call a doctor, an OBGYN, and it turns out that the doctor he called is my OBGYN that I normally see.
Oh, good.
And so...
what's the guy's religion?
And I didn't ask him what his religion was. I didn't ask him what his religion was, but in any case, my original doctor called and he canceled it. He didn't want the doctor to come in. And he asked me, the doctor that was taking care of me, he asked me, have you ever had this pill before? I said, no, I've never had it. And he said, okay, fine. So he gave out a prescription for me, and he said, go on ahead and take these pills. You take 3 pills every 6 hours. And at that point, he was explaining to me how to do it, you know, take the pills and everything. Mm-hmm. And I was a little concerned because I didn't know if, you know, I just wanted some more feedback from my doctor just to confirm to see if I had the dosage right.
Right.
And he said, well, you know that you can get pregnant even though you take these pills.
That's true.
And he says, and sometimes I can't, it's very hard in my profession to balance out my religion with my profession. And that just made me really uncomfortable.
Well, now listen, each doctor needs to make decisions that are consistent with their own ethical, religious, moral orientation.
Uh-huh.
It'd be perfectly acceptable for him to say, I couldn't do this, and if he even explained to you why not. But then I think it is his ethical obligation then to refer you to someone else.
I like the guys that are into Santeria.
I know you do.
Is that him? He wasn't Jewish, I'll tell you that.
And you know, one thing that really...
smart religion, that Judaism, Drew. All right, Patricia. Thanks, baby. That's enough. Well, Jesus Christ, she rambles more than I do. We get it. Listen, if you have that trouble with your doctor, that's their right, and it's your right to go somewhere else.
Doctors have to make decisions based on their own moral, ethical perspectives, but they do also owe you a referral if you want something different.
Yeah, yeah. I like a doctor who plays God. I know people are often criticized for playing God. I enjoy a guy who plays God.
So you like George Burns to be here?
I'm talking about... I want a guy with a full beard and a robe.
Glasses.
I want him to dress like Jesus, really. Wouldn't you feel more comfortable if the guy had a full beard and a thorny crown and he wore the robe and everything? No? Anne?
Yes.
You're 31?
Yes.
What's up?
Hi. Well, I was hoping to talk to you more about some alternatives to the normal medical... things. I'm adopted myself, and I've chosen to give a child up for adoption. I've chosen an abortion, and I've chosen to keep my latest and third pregnancy.
Wow.
Chosen to keep the child.
You've completed the hat trick.
Something like
birth.
That.
Yeah.
Well, they all have karmic life lessons involved.
Sure.
So I have learned a lot.
What's the question?
Crazy earth, mama.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I have two questions, actually. I've been thinking about why it's legal for our government to steal my child when he does turn 18 and go abroad and kill and be killed, but yet I can't choose to terminate my pregnancy in my own womb.
Yeah, well, you can. That's
well,
the good news.
It's difficult to obtain in some places.
Well, an abortion?
Yeah, but and the chances of him safe. Getting killed abroad in the military are pretty slim, too.
Yeah.
About the same.
But what's the other question?
It's about the... I was wondering if you know anything about herbal abortions and or herbs that are used, like the RU486 comes from a plant, the Queen Anne's lace.
Yeah, but why would you want to use the impure chemical, and we're unclear on the dose?
Because the man has not manufactured it.
Yeah.
Well, because I
manufactured. Do you hear that?
Grow in the yard.
You can't say manufacture without man. The man. All right, hey, Anne. Listen, Anne, listen. Earth to Earth Mama. Don't freak that kid out with your weird hippie funky tudes, all right?
He'll end up like Adam Carolla.
Right. He'll be eating pie filling straight out of a goddamn can like I do.
Uh-huh.
Chain smoker.
And there is also a fertility lens, and I was wondering if you knew anything more about that. I actually own one or purchased one.
Fertility lens?
A lens, yeah. You put a saliva or a vaginal fluid sample, and then you
hold it up.
Yeah. Oh, yes, to see.
Yeah,
that's to see if the spin bark height is there.
Yeah.
No.
But,
yes, that's to see if the little leaf pattern is there, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's
right.
Called spin bark height.
Yeah, and how accurate.
That's
that
very
is.
Good. No, that's good. That's actually a good method.
All right,
that's
there.
A time-honored
Anne.
Method.
That's the one I got pregnant on.
Yeah, that's a
you're
time-honored
one for two,
method.
Baby.
That's a time-honored method.
All right, and listen, seriously, don't freak that kid out with all that weird health food crap.
Yeah,
all right,
spin bark. Uh-huh. There's another name for that leaf pattern.
Well, no one knows who's listening to this show.
All right,
Anne. Good times.
Thanks.
All right. Crazy. Man, I had one of those health food moms.
I know. Look what happened.
Yeah.
a warning to all the health food moms out there.
That's right.
Post your child, Adam Carolla, at your service.
We'll be back.
Hello. This is your radio. Radio. Loveline will be right back.
Well, there you go. Another Sunday night conversation in the can. I want to thank Nancy Sasaki for coming in here tonight from Planned Parenthood and doing a nice job of making her point and representing Planned Parenthood. I want to thank Jenny Biondi for coming in here.
Want to give any phone numbers?
Yeah.
Sure. To reach Planned Parenthood nationwide, you can call 1-800-230-PLAN, P-L-A-N. And through that phone number, you can get information on where the nearest clinic is.
Yes. Have that number on your nightstand, everyone, or tape it to your girlfriend's back like I do. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. All right?
No, not all right.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins-Dingle. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.